Are you really satisfied with the depressed interest rates coming from bank CDs and savings accounts? What if, for a change, you could generate high monthly income on all that money? The model portfolios at ETFGuide.com can show you how. Most people are leaving good money behind because they're completely unaware of all the income their investments could be generating. The Income Mix Portfolio at ETFGuide.com will show you how to squeeze more money from your investments. A $100,000 portfolio using our timely strategies could be able to generate between $500 and $2,000 a month. Go to ETFGuide.com to get our monthly income trades. Click on ETF Combos and we'll show you how to turn your investments into a cash cow. Isn't it time you started squeezing more money from your investments? Go to ETFGuide.com, click on the ETF Combos, and we'll show you how. You'll get monthly income strategies using options and ETFs only at ETFGuide.com. To receive your special discount, use promo code BIG50.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
This is the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron@indexshow.com is the email address. My Twitter handle, @IndexShow. Follow me. Coming up on today's broadcast, we're going to talk about the farce of the Stock Act. This was supposed to prevent members of Congress from insider trading. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of that. Also coming up, equal-weighted indexes. I've got a 10-year report that I want to share with you. My program guest, Andy O'Rourke of Direction Funds, will be talking how to make money when financial markets decline. Also, we'll be talking about alternative asset classes, you know, things like commodities and currencies and managed futures and all that crazy stuff. If you'd like to join us, we'll talk about a specific stock, mutual fund, ETF, or anything financial, 877-711-5611 is the number. We're here. Now, let's get into some economic data from the Department of Commerce, which said that gross domestic product in the U.S. increased by 2.5%. Yes, that was an increase, but still below forecasts and expectations of 3%. Nevertheless, that did not impact the stock market in a negative way because on a year-to-date basis, we're still up. And so long as you've got the Federal Reserve purchasing $85 billion a month in Treasury securities, well, that's been giving the market some liquidity as well as relative calm. Speaking of the total U.S. stock market, on a year-to-date basis, this is through the April 25th market close, VTI, which tracks large, mid, and small company stocks, ahead by just over 11%, and that is outperforming international stocks, VEA, which are ahead by just 7.2%. And the two areas, if you look at the global map, which I have, I track all of these stock indexes in various countries and around the world, and I've noticed a trend that you have probably noticed, that the top performing stock markets globally are those that are injecting the most monetary liquidity and monetary policies into their financial markets, namely the U.S. and Japan. Those two markets are pretty hot. In emerging market stocks, ticker symbol VWO, now we're talking when we speak about emerging market stocks, countries like Brazil and China, and then you've got some of the smaller countries like Malaysia and Vietnam. VWO is down just over 3% on a year-to-date basis. This has been an area lagging pretty much all year long. And I think one of the themes happening here are lower commodity prices. And that's finding its way into emerging market stocks and equity prices, which have moved lower. Total U.S. bond market, ticker symbol BND, is flat. And how about gold? Ticker symbol GLD follows the price of gold bullion. GLD down on a year-to-date basis, 12.5%. But gold making a nice little comeback since bottoming GLD bottoming near $130 a share. Now, I would say that this has been a rather lovely dead cat bounce. I don't for a second believe, and I don't think you should, that we've seen the bottom in the gold market. You see what they're doing in India? These people have been buying gold. I mean, they've been going crazy over there. And that, to me, is not the sign of a bottom in gold or really any market. The sign of a bottom in gold or any market is not when you've got frenzied buyers trying to get more. It's rather when you have grief-stricken sellers that want to get out. So I think those of you that want to take long positions in gold, be patient. Be patient. This too shall pass. I think lower prices in precious metals are still ahead. And one last area, ticker symbol VNQ, which tracks U.S. REITs, also known as real estate investment trusts. People generally flock to REITs because of the dividend income. REITs, by law, have to pay out 90% of their income in the form of dividends. So VNQ ahead by 12.5%, and we're seeing a nice rebound there in real estate stocks. So that kind of gives you a perspective on some of the major asset classes and the ETFs tracking them. So how is your investment portfolio doing? You know, I give you these numbers to try to have you have some perspective so that you can look, see, and compare the performance of these major markets and ETFs versus the performance of your own portfolio. Now, I can give you a free portfolio report card. I will tell you how your investments are doing in five key areas: cost, risk, tax efficiency, diversification, and the bottom line, which is performance. And if you can score well in those five areas, well, then you're going to get an A or a B on my portfolio report card. On the other hand, if you can't score well, if your portfolio stinks when it comes to diversification, if it stinks when it comes to risk and cost, and if it stinks when it comes to tax efficiency and performance, well, then you're going to get a C, a D, or an F, which means, well, that you got to go back to the drawing board and look at areas that you need to make some changes so that you can improve, so that you can be on the right track to reach your financial goals. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. You want to send me a question, a comment. If you could talk, want to talk about a specific stock or ETF, be sure to include the ticker symbol. My Twitter handle is at indexshow. You can follow me there. Coming up on today's broadcast, we'll be talking with Andy O'Rourke at Direction Funds. We'll be talking about inverse ETFs, how they work. Also, coming up, too, we'll be talking about alternative asset classes like commodities, currencies, managed futures. I want to get into the Stock Act, which was quietly passed into law on April 4th, and it was amended. There was an amendment on April 15th that received a lot of disdain by people that were paying attention. So we're going to get into the Stock Act. You know, this is a bill that was designed to prevent members of Congress and employees and aides and lobbyists close to them from insider trading. But we're going to get to the bottom of the Stock Act and why I think it's a total farce, why it's weak execution and even weaker legislation. Also, if you have not done so yet, I write and I publish a monthly ETF newsletter. It's available at etfguide.com. Part of that is a monthly income ETF trade. We just did one for May. Once a month, we do is we have an income mix portfolio. It basically has three key asset classes: U.S. stocks, gold, and U.S. REITs, also known as real estate investment trusts. And so what we do every month is we sell or we write covered calls on that portfolio. And it's a hypothetical portfolio, $100,000. And for the month of May, we generated just over $854 of monthly income. So if you'd like to follow along with some of our monthly income trades, just go to etfguide.com and you can check out how we do that. Basically, I give you all of the specific call options that we should be selling, the strike prices, and the specific expiration dates, really a nice way to generate additional income. The 10-year report is out. Ticker symbol RSP, which tracks the S&P 500, but it equally weights each one of those 500 holdings. Now, this is quite different from the traditional market cap weighted S&P 500, which weights stocks according to their market size. The 10-year report on equal weighting versus market cap weighting, that coming up. If you'd like to join us, 877-711-5611. More when we return. This is the Index Investing Show.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, you're listening to the Index Investing Show, 877-711-5611. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. My Twitter handle, at indexshow. Follow me. We're very active on Twitter. Some of my favorite tweets from this past week. How about this one? If hedge fund fees declined by 75%, they'd still be 50 times higher than they should be. And that one I wrote with John Paulson in mind. Yes, billionaire hedge fund manager John Paulson. You know, the one who's been getting creamed by falling gold prices. Speaking of hedge fund managers, George Soros just opened up a new position in JCPenney. JCPenney is part of ticker symbol XLY. That's consumer discretionary stocks within the S&P 500. And XLY, on a year-to-date basis, has actually been a hot performer and is outperforming the broader market. XLY ahead by almost 15% since the beginning of the year. And JCPenney is part of XLY. And so why did George Soros take a stake in JCPenney, that ailing retailer? I have no idea. I guess the only reason I can think of is that he really wanted to buy Woolworth, but since Woolworth got delisted, 10, 15, 20 years ago, he had to settle for JCPenney. So that's my thesis on why George Soros took a stake in JCPenney. What does he see in them? I have no idea. But anyway, the sector's been up almost 15% since the beginning of the year. It's been a good performing sector. Another component of XLY in the news is Amazon.com, which posted earnings this past week, and Amazon.com exceeded Wall Street's expectations earnings-wise. That's for the Q1. But nevertheless, there are some concerns about their international business, which has been slowing. Now, taking a look at some top-performing S&P 500 industry sectors, we already talked about XLY, which tracks consumer discretionary stocks. Now, the more defensive consumer staples, that's ticker symbol XLP, has been outperforming the broader market. XLP ahead by just over 17%. That's been a really good area. Another defensive area has been utility stocks, which too are outperforming the broader market. XLU ahead by over 17%. And then the best performing sector within the S&P 500 has been healthcare stocks, ahead by just over 19%. And if you break down the performance of healthcare stocks, you'll see that it's really those biotechs. Biotechs are just on fire, and that's really been lifting up that particular sector. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. You want to get a portfolio report card, just go to indexshow.com. I'll tell you how your investments are really doing. Do you get an A, a B, a C, a D, or an F? I don't know. The only way to know is to dissect your portfolio. I'll look at it in five key areas: cost, performance, risk, diversification, and tax efficiency. And I'll tell you how you're really doing. Want to talk about the Stock Act, which President Obama, on January 24th of 2012, he said, quote, and this was at his State of the Union address, send me a bill that bans insider trading by members of Congress, and I'll sign it tomorrow. So here we are, a year and a half later, and with very little fanfare, and the president signs into law a watered-down version of the Stock Act on April 4th. Now, STOCK, S-T-O-C-K, is an acronym for Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act. The most disturbing, though, of this legislation is what happened on April 15th. And that's an amendment known as S-716, which basically pulled the online disclosure portion of the Stock Act so that the records, the financial records of politicians, are no longer easily accessible to the public. So we've got less disclosure from this Stock Act, which is problematic. Now, curiously, this amendment, known as S-716, was introduced by Senator Harry Reid on April 11th. Guess how long it took for the Senate to consider this particular amendment before they approved it? A whopping 10 seconds. It took them 10 seconds to approve this. Then it was quickly passed with a unanimous consent. In the House, S-716, it received only 14 seconds of review before being passed again by unanimous consent. What gives? What gives? So here's what we have. Instead of clamping down on illegal insider trading, well, basically the Stock Act removed important disclosure requirements for elected officials, along with aides, lobbyists, staffers, and basically anyone who works for or is closely associated with a politician. And it's just pathetic. It's pathetic that Rule S-716 was included in this. And of course, the excuse that they used, it was a very lame excuse. Well, we need to introduce this amendment to prevent cyber criminals from obtaining access financial data of elected officials and using it against them. Well, I think the other thing about the Stock Act that really is bothersome is the fact that it did not outlaw something called political intelligence. And this is a very serious problem. When a hedge fund or an influence-peddling individual wants inside information, they can still buy it with political intelligence. All they need to do is pay a member of Congress or ex-member or another high-level official for their insight or their political intelligence. Now, this is a rogue but still legal practice of gathering information from lawmakers and Hill aides. It's regularly used by Wall Street to steer money into profitable investments. And what it is, it's really nothing more than legalized cheating. Because he with the most money and he with the most political influence wins. And a perfect case in point, a case study of selling political intelligence, is when former U.S. Secretary, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, tipped off hedge funds about Fannie Mae's rescue in 2008, when he was acting at the same time as U.S. Treasury Secretary. So Paulson's hedge fund buddies, they made billions in illicit profits. They were taking political intelligence from him. This type of unethical conduct is still legal under the allegedly new and improved Stock Act, and that's why it's a farce, a total farce. And so it's weak execution, even weaker legislation. If insider trading is indeed so evil, so nefarious, why is it still illegal for everyone but members of Congress? That's my question. Does anyone have an answer to that? 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. Please join us. Coming up in a little bit, Andy O'Rourke with DirectionFunds.com will be talking about how to make money when the market declines. We'll also be getting into equal weighted indexes. We just got a 10-year report from Guggenheim, which manages a series of equal-weighted equity ETFs, and one of their funds just turned 10 years old, and it tracks the S&P 500, but it equal-weights each one of those 500 holdings versus the traditional market cap-weighted S&P 500, which weights companies according to their market size. So we'll talk about some of the differences between the two and give you the 10-year report and what it is saying. Also, if you have not done so, we did our May ETF income trade at etfguide.com. I encourage you to follow our monthly income trades. Now, we do this 1 month in advance. So for May, our monthly income trade generated $855 of monthly income. And it's an all ETF portfolio. It's based on a $100,000 hypothetical value. And I encourage all of our listeners to follow along. Just go to etfguide.com. Click on the income mix portfolio. Coming up next, Andy O'Rourke of Direction Funds will be talking about how to strategically place your portfolio for profits. That and more here on the Index Investing Show. Be here or be nowhere.
Show with Lon DeLegge.
If you're an income investor and you're not generating more than $500 a month, we have one question for you.
Are you crazy?
Let ETFguide.com help you. A $100,000 portfolio using our timely strategies should be able to generate between $500 and $2,000 per month.
Go to ETFguide.com to get our monthly income trades.
Click on ETF combos and we'll show you how to turn your investments into a cash cow.
Isn't it time you lowered your risk
and increased your monthly income? Go to ETFguide.com and we'll show you how.
Capitalize on trends in financial markets. Here to talk with us about that is Andy O'Rourke. He's the Chief Marketing Officer at Direction. Go to directionfunds.com. A lot of good information there. Andy, welcome to the Index Investing Show. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Ron. Great to be with you.
Let's begin about with the time to build an ark is not when it's raining, but when the sun is shining. And inverse ETFs provide a way for traders to capitalize when it begins to rain. Talk about that.
A great quote there. I think, as we all know, markets are really bidirectional, and the users, the heavy users of inverse funds, you know, really think bidirectionally. So they're just as happy to seek returns in down markets as they are during up. But I do want to stress when we're talking about inverse funds, even the single inverse funds, we are talking about funds that are designed to seek a daily return. So maybe not the place to be for 40 days and 40 nights, but certainly a good place for people to be as they look for make longer term decisions and hedge their other positions that they might have in their portfolio.
And when we talk about inverse ETFs, you make some important points. You know, the fact that, you know, you don't hold them for 40 days and 40 nights necessarily, but as short-term investment tools, when the market begins to trend in a certain direction, I mean, that's when these types of ETFs really take off.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what, the users of our products are definitely looking to do. They're looking for those short-term trends that they can capitalize on. And a lot of the users of our products, you know, really come to us with their own conviction about the market. And so they're applying that. And sometimes they have such strong conviction that they're looking for to leverage that through, either an inverse leverage fund or a positive leverage fund.
Andy O'Rourke of directionfunds.com joining us. Now, one of the few industry sectors that's been taken out to the woodshed and absolutely slaughtered has been gold mining stocks. What are some of the trends happening in this particular sector?
Yeah, you know, the interesting part about the sector is, as you and your listeners probably know, that the gold miner stocks have historically really correlated very well as far as the returns go to those of spot price of gold. But that just hasn't been the case lately, over the last year or two. So it leaves a lot of people wondering why that's the case and can they make better predictions as they try to figure out a tactical trade in the gold miner space. And, you know, the reasons for that have a lot to do with the expense side on the miners' production. I've seen a lot of research around this, and it really costs anywhere from $600 to $700 to extract an ounce of gold from the ground. And then it can be, if you add everything else in, if you're talking about exploration and mine development, administration, maybe royalty fees from the host countries, you know, your costs can get close to double that. So if you factor all of that in, well, you're also looking at gold prices themselves that have been dropping. So on both sides, they're kind of getting it. Really, it's been difficult for the gold mining companies to expand their margins. What I would point out there is, you know, there's plenty of opportunity, though, certainly for a tactical trade there. And I'd point to our gold miners funds there if someone's looking to execute on what they think is going to happen in the short term. We offer NUGT, we refer to it as Nugget, which is the daily 3X bull ETF. But if you're looking to be bearish in the sector, we also offer DUTS, or DUST as we refer to it, and that's the daily 3X bear ETF to kind of play on what you think might be the case in the coming days, weeks, and months in the miner space.
Let's talk about another interesting trend in the ETF world, which is equal weighting. And it's a very simple strategy and simple concept. Now, you've got the direction NASDAQ 100 ETF, that's ticker symbol QQQE, which kind of takes a different approach compared to the traditional market cap weighted NASDAQ 100. Talk about QQQE.
Well, you know, I think to understand QQQE, it's important to understand just what's going on if you look at the NASDAQ 100 traditional market cap index. And, you know, I think most unknowing investors might look at that and say, okay, there's 100 stocks there. That certainly should represent a decent amount of diversification. But if you look a little bit under the hood there to the cap-weighted index, you actually see that the top five holdings make up about 35% of the weightings within the fund, and they're all in technology. So you got a lot of concentration risk, and you got a lot of weighting to just a few companies there. And when you see those companies not do so well, you know, so goes the way of the fund. And you know, we've seen a little bit of that lately, particularly with down stock prices with companies like Apple. So QQQE takes a separate or a different approach to that same group of stocks, and it weights them all equally, 1% across all 100 weightings. So what that allows you to do is to achieve better diversification, not only across all the different equities within the index, but also across the different sectors. So when you have good performance from some other companies that might fall into other sectors, like maybe Starbucks or Bed Bath & Beyond, they're going to be able to contribute to the returns of the index and the funds that track it better than they would under a cap-weighted structure.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. We're pleased to be talking with Andy O'Rourke of Direction. Go to directionfunds.com. There's some outstanding tools there, ETF tools, there's mutual fund tools. For ETF investors, there's an excellent volatility tool. There's also a premium discount tool, which illustrates the difference, daily differences, premium or discount-wise, from the market closing price to the calculated NAV of your direction ETFs. Now, I want to talk about alternative asset classes like commodities and currencies and managed futures. And these types of areas can deliver a significant degree of non-correlation to both domestic and international stocks. Why does that matter?
Well, you know, it matters more and more these days. And I think in the past, we look back and we looked at just traditional asset classes, stocks and bonds and cash. And you could, in the past, get a little more diversification by allocating to various different equity sectors or to different geographical regions. But these days, the correlation levels of all of those traditional asset classes are much, much tighter than they were before, so the diversification just simply isn't there. So what people are looking for these days is to get into other alternative asset classes and apply alternative strategies to those asset classes to simply seek better diversification. And really what these asset classes that you mentioned, and we apply access to these asset classes into traditional 40 Act mutual funds that we have sort of on the opposite side of our business as compared to the tactical leverage products I was talking about earlier. But we make access to commodities, managed futures, and similar asset classes accessible to really everyone, which in the past had been a little bit more difficult for the non-institutional investor to gain access to.
And that's really important, too, because people don't have to go out and establish a Forex account to get exposure to currencies or a futures account to get exposure to commodities. They can just look at some of the like you said, the mutual funds that Direction offers that have exposure to those areas.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, and really there's a lot of different types of strategies that exist out there as this sort of a proliferation of products within the mutual fund space occur. But what users should also look at is what are the strategies that are being applied there. Our commodity fund applies a long, flat approach, which gives people the ability to preserve what they've earned as commodity prices rise if they, in fact, turn and go the other direction. So the volatility levels are a little bit more manageable there, and you don't have to feel like I need to manage my commodity portfolio in a real tactical, hands-on fashion.
That makes total sense, and some great ideas. Thank you for joining us. Again, you just heard from Andy O'Rourke. DirectionFunds.com is the website. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. More when we return. Go nowhere!
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegge.
Right, we're just coming off a nice interview there with Andy O'Rourke of Direction Funds, and we talked about equal-weighted ETFs a little bit. We mentioned the ticker symbol QQQE, which equally weights the NASDAQ 100. That's one of Direction's ETFs. Also, we mentioned one of the industry sectors that's been in the news a lot has been gold miners, which has been a horrible performing area. Those of you that have been bearish on gold miners, you've been making some money. Ticker symbol DUST, which aims for daily 300% inverse performance or opposite performance to gold miner stocks. That particular ETF's been performing very well. And those of you that have been trading ticker symbol NUGT, which aims for bullish performance, 300% to gold mining stocks, ticker symbol NUGT, you've been trading that one on counter trend bounces. That one has been good on those very brief and short-lived counter trend bounces in gold miners. So those were a couple of the ETFs we talked about. And those of you too should go to directionfunds.com that want to learn more about how these particular ETFs work. And I also mentioned in that interview some pretty cool tools that they have at Direction Funds, some excellent screening tools and so forth. So directionfunds.com is the website. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. We did our monthly income trade for May, generated $855. And go to etfguide.com and sign up for the Income Mix portfolio. You can follow along with some of our trades there. Now, I want to talk about equal-weighted indexes because it's something that I began this program with and talking about how they work and why this particular area is an area that you may want to think about in terms of incorporating in your overall investment portfolio. So the 10-year report is out. Equal weighting has beaten the market cap weighted S&P 500 over the past 10 years. So this argument in favor of equal weighting, a portfolio of stocks, is growing stronger and stronger. So the Guggenheim S&P 500 equal weight ETF, that's ticker symbol RSP, has easily beaten the traditional market cap weighted S&P 500 and ETFs and mutual funds tracked to the traditional S&P 500. So here's the bottom line numbers. This is through the market close of April 22nd, 2013, 10-year returns. RSP has delivered 10.36% average annual total return versus the S&P 500, which has delivered 7.71%. So that's a pretty excellent margin of outperformance by RSP. So what RSP does that's different is it takes each one of those 500 stocks within the S&P 500 and assigns them an equal weight of 0.20%. So you take 0.20% and you multiply it by 500, you come up with 100%. That's 100% of the portfolio. So that means that even the S&P 500's tiniest stock, which is Advanced Micro Devices, gets the same amount of exposure as the S&P 500's largest stock, which is ExxonMobil. So that's very different than the traditional S&P 500, where only the largest companies have the most say. So that is produced, one of the reasons it's produced outperformance on a year-to-date basis as well as a 10-year basis is because of the fact that some of those smaller and mid-cap companies have outperformed larger stocks over the past 10 years. So it really depends on the time frame that we're looking at, because not all time frames are the same in terms of outperformance for equal-weighted indexes versus market cap-weighted indexes. If we go back to the 1990s, you'll actually see from 1990 to 1999 underperformance by the S&P Equal Weight Index. In fact, that underperformance was around 3% annually. So it really depends. Looking ahead, you have to ask yourself, is this gonna persist? Is this outperformance of equal weighted indexes gonna persist? Well, nobody really knows. Nobody really knows. All we have is historical market performance. And so if we just look at the past 10 years, though, the trends are very much in favor of equal weighting indexes. But remember that we don't know if that's going to persist in the future. And one other last thing to remember is that the fees for equal weighted ETFs are much higher compared to traditional market weighted funds. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. Please join us. The Stock Act, we talked about that earlier. This was a legislation signed into law by the president that was supposed to prevent members of Congress from insider trading. The Government Accountability Office, also known as GAO, still can't get a handle on the sale of political intelligence, which we definitely know perversely impacts capital markets. It basically creates an unfair advantage for people in power. If I want inside information, if I'm a hedge fund or a wealthy individual or an influence peddler, all I got to do is pay a congressman or a politician for political intelligence. I pay them or one of their consulting firms, and I can get an unfair advantage over the average person investing in the stock market. But this GAO conducted a one-year study. They looked at this for 1 year, and they still couldn't get into their bird brains how political intelligence is actually paid, sold, and how it impacts capital markets negatively. They still couldn't figure it out. And one of the reasons they cited was that the information contained within these political intelligence reports is frequently buried. Reports within reports within reports. It contains opinions and research, making it difficult to track. So they're going to do another study, part of the law that the part of the legislation that the president signed requires a continuation, another one-year study of political intelligence. So don't get hoodwinked by news headlines proclaiming that the Stock Act is going to end congressional insider trading, because the fact is it's not. It's not, and right now we've got a raging bull market in lying, cheating, and the sale of political intelligence. And why is, or how evil is insider trading? Well, it's so nefarious that it's still illegal for everyone but members of Congress. 877-711-5611, that is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. Please join us. If you ever miss our regular radio broadcast, You can pick up our free podcast, which is available at iTunes.com. Also, we have a YouTube channel. If you have not had a chance to visit it, I encourage you to. One of my favorite videos right now is Irving Fisher. Actual footage from 1929, Irving Fisher, Yale professor, telling you and everyone else that the stocks have reached a permanently high plateau. And of course, right after he declared that, what happened? The stock market crashed. But actual footage on our YouTube channel of Irving Fisher, you can see that at the Index Investing Show's YouTube channel. Now, if you have any specific questions about ETFs or individual stocks or mutual funds or investment strategies and you weren't able to get in, you can email me, ron@indexshow.com. Also, follow me on Twitter, @indexshow is my handle. We are very active there, and got some good feedback and interaction and questions with some of our listeners. So @indexshow is my Twitter handle. Do follow. Coming up on next week's broadcast, we'll be talking about major mega investment themes. I've got 10 of them. We'll go over that, my theme report. Also, May is here. So the question is it time to sell in May and go away? We'll get into that. We'll also get into some of your emails. I want to do a portfolio report card for you. If you have not yet reached out to me, go to indexshow.com. I'll give you a free portfolio report card, A, B, C, D, or F. What kind of grade does your portfolio get? I will tell you. Well, that does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Be sure to join us again next week, same time, same station. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.